first to start.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 5:25.
Thank you. Are there any announcements this morning? Tim?
Well, the long-awaited tract meeting is over, and we all survived and did a good job of it. A big thank you to the congregation, courtesy committee, food committee, all those that made food, brought food, provided beds for people. I heard a lot of good comments about the meals and the snacks. So it was a good thing, very good thing. I would like to call your attention to the track rack in the entryway. The brother that was here from Gospel Tract for the meeting looked at our tract selection back there, and he said, well, basically everything except this bottom row needs to be thrown in the trash. He says it's so outdated that, in fact, he took some home as souvenirs because he had never seen them before. So we cleaned out the track rack yesterday, and he left us a box of tracts that he had brought to show, and we've tried to fill that up. We probably need to do a little more work. But check it out, especially the bottom row. You'll see multiple facings of Peace of Mind in a Troubled World. That one is still number one worldwide. Need to use that tract. And then there are the more colorful ones on the bottom row, the For You series. A Savior for you, a book for you, a gift for you. They don't all say For You in the title, but they're in that series. Updated, more colorful, a little more simplified. There's some good stuff there. So take a look at it and check it out.
Thank you, Tim. Any more announcements? Okay, if not, let's remember our singing evening this evening. Let's all come back for that. I think we're ready to begin with the song, and there'll be liberty for one of you brethren to have the introduction. Let's pray for the service.
Let's take our hymnals, sing 119, Christ Arose. Thought of this in relation to the lesson this morning. 119.
He arose.
it's okay for me to do this or not, but I did have just a little thought in my mind. I guess it was kind of from Friday evening, and I thought maybe I could just leave it here for an introduction this morning, but I was kind of impressed listening to Todd the other night, and he was talking about care packages, and he explained a care package basically as something that we can maybe sometimes put together to give to someone that shows that we care about them, to shows that we love them, to show them that they are loved, something that just has a few things in it that maybe mean something to them or whatever. And as he was talking there, for some reason I started thinking about God's care package to us. I guess it kind of goes along with the Sunday school lesson this morning, but I was thinking about the plan of salvation and how, I guess it kind of inspired me as I thought about that, how the plan of salvation is God's care package to us to tell us that we are loved. And one thought that impressed me in that is how much of the heart of God is in His care package that He's given to us. God's heart, His very heart, I think we catch a glimpse into His heart by the gift that He's given us, by His care package. I don't know if that's the right way to put it or not, but I guess it inspired me as I thought about that. It seemed to me like that was kind of the foundation of the meeting here over the weekend. It was the foundation of what I heard, that in a sense we've been given so much, haven't we? God loves us, and He's given us life. And it's because of that, that when that vision is alive in our hearts, when we have caught a glimpse of the heart of God, when we see the heart of God, you know, it's so many times it's easy to take it for granted, isn't it? But when we've caught that glimpse, when we see it in our own lives, we see what He's done for us, that does give us the vision to reach out and to share. And in a sense, the care package that we pass on to others is, it also has God's heart in it, doesn't it? And as His heart is in us, as His love is in us, it seems to me like that's something that ignites something in us, and we can pass that on. And I guess that just inspired me as I thought about it. I was inspired to be here, and it's Friday evening, and I listened some yesterday, and it seems like truly we've been given much, and we have much to share, don't we? And may we be faithful in that. Let's kneel and pray. Our Father, we turn to You. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given us, and especially for this day of rest. And Lord, our hearts are just open this morning. We believe that You are here. We know that You are here. And we just pray that You would fill us with each one of us with our need, with the need that You see in us. Just give us what we need. And be with the one who will bring the message, Lord. Just inspire his heart and open his way. Just bless us each one here in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 87 in the hymnal. 87. Such love, such wondrous love.
How wonderful is love like this? Good morning to everyone. It's good to see you all. It's good to be here. I've been blessed as usual. The song selection's great. Sunday school lesson was warm. And yesterday's meetings were certainly inspiring. Touched our hearts. And I another dimension to this is what our congregation is enjoying. We have been through a very good revival. We have help on our staff, and that's just simply given a lot of us new courage. Many prayers were answered. And I really feel like our congregation, through that long revival, we went from ankle-deep water to deeper water. When we didn't have a staff to rely on, we learned to take care of the inner man, to feed it, deal with its needs, reconcile our lives to God and to each other. We learned a lot. One of the revival ministers is well acquainted with a situation where there's a very strong staff. There are four ministers. Some prominent, three deacons, and then there's some retired men behind that. That doesn't necessarily lead to a vibrant, living, working congregation. Those people just depend on the staff. They just lean on them to feed them and take care of them. So I think that's a real positive for us. I have a thought on my mind this morning. It's a little life lesson. It's a word. I've noticed it quite a bit lately. I've seen it on full display lately, the effects of this word. And I hope there's something in here that feeds the soul. Well, I know there's one aspect of this that's absolutely critical. It's life and death, and I mean eternal life and death. And maybe a little clearer understanding of this will help us as a brotherhood as we move through all the challenges of the coming year. But that word is perspective. Perspective is the mental lens through which you look at life. It's how you interpret the happenings of life. It's how you organize reality. It's what your priorities are. Perspective. It's a huge part of our lives, folks. And if I say something here today that somebody thinks I'm giving you a do-better talk or I'm giving you a spanking, I assure you I'm not. If there's a spanking, the Lord is getting me because He's been talking to me in this area. That perspective is shaped by our experiences in life, good and bad, our losses, our disappointments, our successes, our school years, our parents, grandparents, the neighbors around us. There's a constant, that's all set kind of the base of our perspective. And that perspective is not, it's relative. It's not absolute. That's what the Lord's been reproving me on. See, I get very comfortable in my perspective because, you know, I think, hey, I'm 68. I have seen so much of life. I've seen dozens and dozens of young people grow up. I've watched them form their habits, live their lives, and I've seen where that leads to. I've seen many, many times the financial choices that people made and what it led to. I've seen people go broke and lose everything. Those have all shaped my perspective. And so I get very comfortable in that. I think that's pretty solid. That's right. But God has been telling me lately, your perspective is not absolute. It's not law. It's not truth. There may be some of that in there. But all of our perspectives at times need to be reconciled back to God Change in perspective is healthy and good. And that's where, somebody said this in Sunday school this morning. There were two perspectives the other night at the gym meeting. Some think we can do this and we need to do it and let's get on with it. And there's other perspectives that say there's no way the numbers are going to work and we don't need it that bad. We can get by. That's two perspectives. That's not necessarily one right and one wrong. And we can't go one way or the other with figures and arguments and debate. We have to find where is God leading. What are we all comfortable with in a united way? But the perspectives of the younger generation and the older generation, I see a lot of it. And like that track meeting yesterday, I used to think technology was straight from the pit. It's straight from hell. And I thought there's so many more people going lost because of that advent. But really? Is that a proper perspective? I don't know. I know God doesn't go by numbers. But what I heard yesterday, there are millions being exposed to the truth. Technology is taking the last call of the gospel around the world. Amazing. Beautiful. I want to say, you know, some of the things that have formed my perspective, one of the things I've seen that often, it shocked me when I left the farm and went to the oil field, the different perspectives, folks. It was just a culture shock to me. They didn't care about Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and yet they would sell out for Halloween or July 4th. They'd spend tons of money. They didn't care about a little family life meant little. They didn't care about going to Colorado to the mountains with your family. They wanted to go to Las Vegas and spend 3 or 4 days there indulging in every evil you could imagine. And they would come home like zombies with their heads hanging. And they loved it. Perspectives. It got to where you felt pretty lonely sometimes. I want to read you something here that I have just to show you. This is how time, we can't put all things, sometimes time brings a perspective and that changes, it moves on, we all know that. But I have here an annual business meeting report from 1961. Membership 266, double what we are sitting here today. Oldest member, Jake Heer, 92. Does anybody remember Jake Heer? Youngest child, Melody Sue Bays. Does anybody know who that might be? Three funerals, three marriages, 23 baptisms. Okay, on the business side of it, this is by Frank Nightingale, Kelly's great-grandpa. My figures here. Total receipts for the whole year, 266 people, $16,883. Total expenditures, $14,281. REA, the electric bill for the whole year, $141. MUA for the church property, $90. Grave digging, three funerals, $12. Funeral expenses, $34 for three funerals. Okay, folks, that was a generation. And they had a perspective, folks, and it was deeply affected by something called hard times. That group right there, they lived through desperate hard times. They knew what survival was like. They knew what going hungry was like. Trying to feed a family. I'm just saying these men were in charge here. That perspective they had. They were And that's what's so different today. The attitudes and perspectives about money and debt and risk, they are changing vastly. And I would only say this, I wish the younger generation could go through hard times. I wish you could taste it. It is the greatest teacher ever. A teacher of patience, of deep trust in God, a teacher of self-denial, a teacher of waiting on God, wait till He provides, and even contentment. I believe it was a tremendous teacher of that. And I know it's not our fault that things are like this today. So I'm not going to pound on this one. It's just that God's people today, they are exploring their liberties. They are going into areas that would have never been thinkable to this generation. We go bowling, we play golf. The vacations are getting longer and longer, more expensive. The RVs are bigger and longer, the toys, and God's people are exploring their liberties. And I really wonder, brothers and sisters, is that perspective real? That's a perspective that really, I question if that's reality. And I question a little bit if those people are looking through the lens of God's holy word. That's the next point I want to make here. I want to read my scriptures to you. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Turning over to one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, and yet so powerful, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is the first and greatest requirement, brothers and sisters, is that we're totally reconciled to God with everything, and then that allows, that sets the foundation for a perspective, a heart, a soul that loves truth, loves God and loves His truth. It seeks truth. It wants it and recognizes that many times it's not what I really like or want. That is the basis of a sound perspective, and to me that is life and death for the age that we are in, the flood of information that's coming our way. There is no way. We're going to sort through that all and keep our perspectives clear unless we have a deep love for the truth. I had an uncle one time who was a very kind, gentle man. He's somebody that I love. He's a man that I respect, but he had some strange viewpoints, especially in the area of alternate healing. And he made a choice to believe those things. He made a choice. And I've often wondered, did he love truth? He got into it quite deeply, and it skewed his perspective of what truth was. And folks, that's what these forces will do. They will skew your perspective. When you begin to believe something that's not truth, you allow it to seep into your psyche and sit there and listen to it and let that influence you. It will affect your justifying faith and salvation. It will skew your perspective. I spoke with a minister recently that used to go in and out with us, lives far away now. He said they had lost a couple just recently. They walked out the door, fine couple. And he said that he said on the surface it was doctrine. They would pick on doctrine, the incarnation, the true church, non-resistance. They would just pick that apart intellectually. But he said underneath it all, they were offended. They got hurt. A simple misunderstanding. And they could not let it go. They couldn't reconcile it. It grew and it grew and it changed their whole perspective. Where once they had a clear vision, there weren't many questions. They lost the way and walked out. Their perception was skewed, folks. Any spirit can do that. So that's my encouragement to us, folks, is that we would... When there is humility and love, there's room for many perspectives, folks. In fact, it's healthy. In fact, they complement one another. They support one another. They balance each other. We older ones need to let go of some things, or at least realize they're not just rock solid. And the younger ones need to realize some of their perspectives need testing, refining, they need a search. Okay, where do you go for truth? Number one, Church of God, their interpretation of the scripture, we believe that's our guide, the best we have in this earth. You know, why didn't my uncle go to that source and see what the church said about it? Clearly written. This is not for God's people, and it's often accompanied by a divisive spirit that takes us away, further away from the fellowship and the truth. So may God help us, folks, to search out the many things that are coming at us. Another thing that love of the truth leads us into is a proper evaluation of ourselves. That's where it gets tricky and painful, folks. You're going to have to look at your inferior feelings, folks, and all of us have struggled with. You're going to have to get underneath that one and realize that if anybody tells you anything less than that you are a child of God, you're equal with others, it's a lie from Satan. Satan comes in here and tells us those people have the advantage, and those people have this and that and that, and we begin to feel inferior. And it inhibits us, and it skews our perception. Another thing I just want to leave here is that I feel like the fear of God, the fear of judgment, the wrath side of God, that's waning away in the Church of God, far and wide. It's just not as prevalent as it was, and I don't blame it so much on lack of preaching as I do the environment we live in. Sin is abounding every day, and there doesn't seem to be much judgment or punishment. The people that sin right in front of us, they act free. That subconsciously affects us, folks, and we begin to question, or I don't even know if we question, but we just... Sin is not that bad or dangerous anymore. And folks, the truth is, again, search for the truth. Look for it. You'll find in the Father's writings, the forefathers, that God is equal parts. He can't be 80% love and 20% judgment and wrath. He is equal parts, mercy, love, truth, justice, righteousness, wrath, whatever you want to give him. You know, that's a truth that I don't know if we like that really, do we? I don't know if we do. And you know, as I'm just going to take my seat now. That's enough. But, you know, brothers and sisters, the perspectives that there are among us, I know that there's a perspective, for instance, that this church building is inadequate. It's outdated. That's one perspective. I remember the joy there was in this generation when we walked into this brand new sparkling church and it was paid for. And we had paid the quota and we kept the school running. No debt. That was very important to these people and those after them. Well, that's all changed today. We're not afraid of debt. We're just, it's a way of life. We're going to make payments. Well, one perspective, my own, is this is a beautiful, functional building. It serves 97% of our needs, could use a facelift. And I don't think there's a building anywhere that serves 100% of everybody's needs. My perspective, and I'm sure my phone is going to light up before I get home. I'm sure it will. Anyway, I'll tell you, this is going to happen too, folks. When we're over there at that new gym kitchen, it's gorgeous. We're having our first fundraiser for the very large payments that we're going to have for many years. That's a minor detail. We're not thinking about that. And it's going to happen. After about two or three of those, somebody's going to say, why did we put that over there? That's not big enough over there. And what were they thinking over here? Brothers and sisters, those are perspectives. That's inevitable. And don't get hung up on that. Don't start talking about that. That's a key part of a healthy perspective, is being able to peel off those negative thoughts. Yes, they fit sometimes. And I want to say it so bad. Get the negative out and focus on the positive. Bring that out. God loves that. That's a uniter. That's a healer. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we just thank you for the beautiful day today, the service, your word that we can learn from, and that we can guide our lives, and that it can give us the right perspective. Just bless what all we've learned today and go with us the remainder of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Where will your anchor hold?
When the strong tides lift and the gale our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright. We shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the sea.
Person with this special tonight is not going to be able to do it, so we're asking for a volunteer, somebody who would like to let us know what's on your defense.
Stand for closing prayer. Our Father, we turn to you at the close of the service, Lord. We thank you again for your mercy and your love, and thank you for the inspiration this morning. Father, we recognize a need for your light, for your truth, and that it would lead us. We know that we need that in this day. And we just pray, Lord, that we can stand together and that we can follow your leading, that we can just simply live our lives in such a way, Lord, that you can use us and that someday we can be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.